Blog Talk Radio.
All opinions, comments, and representations made by the hosts of Brilliant Ideas Radio and their guests are strictly for entertainment purposes. Well, at least that's what we think we're doing. Entertaining you. Welcome to Brilliant Ideas Radio. Brilliant Ideas Radio keeps you informed about all the awesome products and people in the food industry. Brilliant Ideas Radio is about food, music, and most importantly, having fun with your friends. And now, here is the man with the master plan, Brilliant Ideas. So join the fun and call the studio number at 714-242-5272. Once again, the studio number is 714-242-5272.
Hey, good morning out there in Blog Talk Radio land. This is Brilliant Ideas, and you are listening to the Brilliant Ideas Radio Show. Welcome this morning. We are airing this show early this morning. We're trying out a new time, and also we have a pre-recorded show that we are running this morning. So I just want to let everybody know before the show begins that there will be no live call-in this morning. So if you wanted to beat up on the host, too bad you can't today. But wanted to thank everyone for joining us. And we're going to try this early morning trial this morning just to see how things go with our audience. You can always, of course, if you're listening to this on archives, you'll know this, but you can always listen to the show again on the archives. All of our shows are there for your listening pleasure. You can go all the way back to September if you would like to hear some of the shows. So we appreciate it. Everything keeps going here strong at Brilliant Ideas Radio. This show was recorded earlier, and we're going to be playing first a recording of Laurie, Aaron, and me with our normal show with the food news, etc. And then after that, we will be tying in the show with Emily Ellen. Also, I'll just want to remind everyone, we have a contest going on. If you don't know about the contest, we're looking for entries for the Sexy Kitchen Stories. We'll be announcing the winner next week, February 2nd, for the Sexy Kitchen Stories. And all you have to do is just write 250 words or less, a sexy kitchen story that you may have been involved in. And we're going to pick the winners, and we'll be giving out Saber Ricci's new book, well, actually to three winners, first, second, and third place. Each one of you will get one of Saber Ricci's books, and it's really easy. Just send in the entry to Brilliant Ideas at earthlink.net, and we'll be picking a winner next week. Probably next week our show will be airing at the normal time, which is 8:30 West Coast and 11:30 East Coast, but we wanted to try this out since we have a recorded show this morning to see how things go. And as soon as I can get everything working here, I will press the button and start playing the recordings that this thing will let me. But make sure you send in your entry. You have until February 1st to get the entry into us, and we'll be announcing the winner next Saturday morning. And like I said before, it's your way to win a free book from Saber Ricci. And if you can tell, I am dragging this out because I'm having issues with our system again. It's like every Saturday morning there's something that goes wrong with Blog Talk Radio, but we almost got it straight here, so give me one more second. But everybody, once again, thank you for joining us. Thanks for all your support. And here we go. If this thing works, we will now be going to our pre-recorded session that happened earlier in the week. everyone stay tuned, and if this works right, I will push the button, and hopefully we will have our recording.
Hello, everybody. This is Gray and Ideas, and it's the Gray and Ideas radio show coming back at you again for an unpacked show, we hope, and interesting facts, and make you laugh and make you cry probably too at the same time. And we're back here, and I think I've got my buddy sidekick, good old Aaron over there in Florida, and I think I also have my news girl over in New Jersey, our food news girl. Everybody here?
Yeah.
Hello.
You know
it.
Hey, guys, how are you? You there?
I'm good.
I am. I have no idea what was going on. It was like everybody at once. I just figured I would just pop.
I was doing the same thing. I was kind of pausing. I said, let me pause for a second because I don't want to interrupt Aaron if he starts talking first.
Yeah, it's never good when you have a threesome going. Everybody's got to take their turn. So.
Oh, okay.
Gosh. Oh, boy. Anyway, we're going. Anyway, we're going to go ahead and move straight to food news after that little tidbit. And, Laurie, I'm going to let you rock and roll with food news.
Oh, good. Okay. Well, I was going to do a wine of the week, but then I thought, well, instead of doing an actual wine, I found this really nice article on Zinfandel and Grillion. I'm sure you'll be very happy to hear it. Aaron, I don't know about you, but you'll probably be sleeping. Take a nap, and we'll wake you after I'm done. It just says here.
Hey, Laurie, I don't know if you heard our last show that after you left, we got into a little conversation about Zinfandel, and Aaron and I have come to a conclusion. We both agreed, until I told him about the old vine Zinfandel, that Zinfandel basically is a girl's wine.
I know, see? That's what people think.
No, that's what
that's a chick wine.
No, Zins is so cool. This is actual, like, the dark Zins. You're going to love it.
All right, fire away.
Okay. So I was going to say, if you were never a Zin wine drinker before, I think after hearing this, you might be. So here we go. It says, Zinfandel is a quintessential California varietal. It is the most widely planted red grape in the state, and more of it is planted in California than anywhere else in the world. See that?
Sorry.
Much of it is used to make the white Zinfandel, a slightly sweet blush wine, and this is what confuses people. It is also sometimes used as a blending grape in other red wines, but it is the ultra-ripe, intensely flavored red Zinfandel wines that have created the craze. They have a lush richness that is just plain hard to resist. And I'm telling you, once you try it, it's amazing. One of the reasons...
Like I said, before you go on, like I said last week and the week before that, I truly believe that Zinfandel was a girl's wine rosé until I tried out this Lachino wine. It comes from Lodi, California, and I have to admit it's very hearty. It's a lot like Shiraz, and it's got a peppery taste, and I think they mislabeled it. I actually think it's Shiraz, and they messed up and called it Zinfandel, but it is a Zin.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because this is what it says. It says, one of the reasons Zinfandel is so much fun is that it's not a wine that wants to be overanalyzed. No need to stare off into the distance as you try to discern the nuances of a vintage or an oak from the winemaker. It says, Zinfandel can be bright and medium-bodied or jammy and decadent. Either way, the Zin's raspberry, strawberry, blueberry, cherry, chocolate, and that spicy black pepper flavor are positively delicious. Zin's richness is, it's dead on with those flavors. It says Zin's richness is something to keep in mind when pairing it with foods. Here, you guys are going to love this part. I thought of you both. It says it will simply overwhelm anything delicate or subtle, which is true. It says Zinfandel, I mean, you wouldn't want to have a Zin, I don't think, with lobster, you know, something like that. But Zinfandel is just about the best burger wine in the world. It goes well with any rich and meaty dish. If you have a favorite pot roast or are you wondering what to pair with the crockpot stew? Look no further than a Zin. The same goes for your grilled foods. That smoky, charred flavor just sings when contrasted with the jammy richness of a Zin. Zinfandel's richness and body can also tame the flame in spicy, pepper, chili-spiked foods, from your Tex-Mex to Cajun potato wedges and spicy sausages. Zinfandel is a great pairing for your flavorful favorites.
Well, I agree. I'm going to send a bottle of this to Aaron in Florida when I get his opinion for one of the future shows. Because, I'm surprised. So I know we've worn this Zin subject out, but it is, I would have never gone to a restaurant and ordered a Zin because everybody would think that I was, whatever. And anyway, I just never would order a Zin because I thought it was sort of a sissy wine. It was pink.
You know what we should do? I don't mean to interrupt, but if you send that to Hank Bob, what you should probably do is make him taste it on the radio so we can
it's not really going to have the same effect because when I drink it, I'm going to wear a skirt and the whole thing, and it's just it's not quite the same on the radio.
Videotape it while you're tasting it and let us know. I'm serious. When you do it next week or something, when you taste it, you should definitely do it on the radio. I love it.
Yeah. Well, we want photographs afterwards that we can post on Facebook if you're going to do that.
Yes.
My skirt wearing is private, sir. I don't share that with the world.
Okay. All right.
Anyway,
what do you got? What else you got? We talked about Zinfandel enough for the last several weeks.
Oh,
what do you got next?
On. Just a real quickie here. I wanted to thank my very dear, sweet friend, Sunblessed Orchard, because she private messaged me and said that January is National Oatmeal Month. So I just found a one little tidbit that says more oatmeal is consumed in January than any other month. Eating oatmeal can lower blood cholesterol and may reduce the risk of heart disease. Many athletes eat rolled oats with a high level of complex carbohydrates and water-soluble fiber that helps maintain stable, good glucose levels. So happy oatmeal month.
Well, actually, I actually have been eating oatmeal the last couple of months, and I put honey on it and mix in berries and all kinds of things. It's actually pretty good. The rolled oats, it's kind of a hearty oatmeal.
I'm sorry about that. Didn't you tell me you had it recently at one of the fast foods? You had an oatmeal. It was really good. It had, like, cranberries or something in it that was delicious. Like, someone was telling you to get that?
Yes. Actually, it was at good old Mickey D's, and I tried the oatmeal for the first time because I was told that it was a good oatmeal, and it was excellent. It was like, hey, Aaron, it was on sale, but they had a special going on with oatmeal. But, it was actually pretty good, believe it or not.
See?
No, in my mind, that it was. None whatsoever.
Well, it was
on the dollar menu.
is that where you got the coupon for the Zinfandel? Just wondering if you got the coupon.
No, the Zinfandel was on sale. It was half price, and I honestly would never have spent that kind of money, $4.99. But the lady convinced me, so.
Oh, wait till Brian hears this one.
But no, Brian can't give him too much stuff because he flat out explained it was normally a $10 bottle of wine. So, I mean, that's high
true.
Roller.
That's right.
That's true. That's high
right.
roller. Oh, my gosh.
I mean, that's the kind of stuff they serve at the most expensive wedding in the world. You're right. $10 bottle of gin.
I don't think so.
Okay, now. Hey, now let me explain something. I'm in California, so the wines here are at least 30 or 40% cheaper than they are. Oh, I guess that actually makes it worse, doesn't it? Because I'm paying $1.99.
Yes.
Never mind.
Oh, goodness. Okay. Well, by the way,
hey, speaking of oatmeal, before you go to the, I just remember, I did use some Big Kahuna wine and tried it in oatmeal.
Yeah.
And that was actually pretty good.
Are you serious? You didn't do that.
You really
I am serious.
Did not do that.
I swear one night I wanted some kind of snack, and, you know, I get into these moods like, oh, I'm going to try something. So instead of putting milk or water in there, I tried it with, it was a Merlot, and it actually was pretty good.
The only time I've ever come close to that was the first time I moved out of my parents' house. The very first time I moved out, I was 17 years old. I had a job, but no one else that I lived with did. So I paid all the bills pretty much. There were 9 people living in this little single wide trailer.
Get out.
No, seriously. And so we had no groceries, no nothing. It would be the middle of the night. You'd be starving to death. So what would you do? We never had any food in the house, but we always had beer. No clue how that worked out. But it would always be like Lucky Charms with Bud Light or Cheerios and Bud Light. Then we'd have milk, and I wanted some flavor, but yeah, that's the only time I've ever even considered experimenting like that. And I ate it quite frequently, but to this day, as a grown adult, I would never, ever mix big kahuna wine with milk.
You've never had in the morning Cheerios?
I did. The very first time that I moved out of my house, and I was so broke that I couldn't afford to eat. But yeah, that's the only time.
So what made you leave then? And I hear a lot of people, they leave. I don't know. My parents couldn't get rid of any of us. We just all lived home until we got married or something. No one just ever left. And we're all still on the corner.
It was just one of those things. I decided that it was going to be more fun to live with a bunch of friends than it was to live with my parents, even though I didn't have it bad. I could do whatever I wanted. I could go wherever I wanted. I just had to keep my parents informed of where I was at.
Uh-huh.
But it just seemed to be more of a cool thing to just move out.
What an experience, though, you must have had. Yeah.
Oh, it was crazy. There were some experiences, I can promise you. Moving back to my parents' house, I was gone for 2 years. And at 19, I moved back into my parents' house. And it was the greatest day of my life, moving back into my parents' house. I was like, oh, my God, you guys are the best parents on the planet. I don't know how you let me move back in. And, yeah.
Aww.
Well,
nice,
hey, Aaron,
yeah.
If you guys hadn't spent so much on beer, you might have had money for food.
Listen,
there you go.
There were some, because there are priorities in life. At 17 years old, your main priority is beer, women, maybe drugs, depending on where you're at, but it's mostly beer and women. So we had our priorities in line. Food was not even important. Neither was electricity. That wasn't important either.
Oh, but you turned out a really good boy, so there you go.
There you go.
Yeah, at least I turned out a really good boy to what the masses think. So something's got to keep it all locked up inside, you know.
Oh,
all right,
well,
Laurie, go to your next story.
I'll continue. I know we talked about the food trends for 2013. One of the words was baobab, and Brian actually posted on my page a link about it. But the thing is, I went to Trader Joe's and I asked them about the baobab. I went to the produce department. The girl said, I have never heard of it. She brought over 2 other workers and they had never heard of it. So I told her, I said, it's a food trend for 2013. She goes, yeah, I guess we're still waiting for the food trend to come out. It just didn't, they didn't know of anything. But I just got a little synopsis of what it is. It says here,
it's early in 2013, so it sometimes takes a while for a trend to get going.
Yeah, we'll see it about in 2015, maybe. It says it's a tree native to certain tropical regions in Africa, Botswana, and Mozambique. Mozambique?
Yeah, it's
Mozambique.
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 Yeah,
got me saying it. Yeah. Mozambique. Is that close to Zimbabwe?
Nobody knows. I didn't know if we had like a geography major or something on the line that you were asking. I had no idea. I didn't know if somebody else was here that might have known. All I know is I got soulfish, and I thought we were talking about something nobody cares about.
Well, it's shaped like a gourd, and just real quick, it was interesting, though. It's often used to curb inflammation. It says it contains, it's rich in antioxidants, and some of the products made with the baobab fruit can help slow the aging process and protect against major illnesses like heart disease and cancer. So, yeah, I don't know. We'll see about that one. I'm going to look forward to see.
But I wonder, and just because you said those things, I wonder if it tastes good at all. And the only reason I say that, because you start putting stuff together, like, oh, that's great for your body and helps reduce the aging process, but it's just like a root. I mean, it's like on shoe leather. I mean, it's just one of those things. I don't know. Could it possibly taste good if it's really that good for you?
Good for you, yeah.
Well, we're all going to have to try to find some and try it. Matter of fact, I tell you what. See if you can find it in Florida, and then you can drink the Zinfandel with it and give us a report back live on the radio.
No, I'll drink an entire bottle of Zinfandel before I even try to taste the baobab. That's pretty much what's going to happen. And then I'm going to give you a skewed report, because I'm going to be like, oh, my God, that was the best thing I ever tasted in my life.
Hey, you know what? If this baobab isn't popular now with us talking about it so much, it probably will be a trend.
That's right.
Yeah. Oh, I found this article. Okay, moving on. I found this article just real quick. My dad has, of course, as everybody sees on the news, everybody's fighting this flu that's really bad. You know, it's an epidemic and stuff. So my mom was sick last week, and my dad didn't feel good. He had the flu. He was really, really sick and could barely walk to bed one night with the flu. And I had heard my sister's boyfriend, who's Italian, said, you take an onion, you cut it in half, and you have to cut it in half, and then you leave it by the bedside, and it draws the flu, okay? It draws all the bacteria in the air, and you feel much better. If it wasn't, swear, if I didn't see it for myself, the next day my dad woke up, and I said, Dad, how do you feel? He goes, want to see me run? That's what he said. He was joking, right? So we kind of jogged in place for a second. He goes, I can't believe I feel so much better. So I Googled it and looked it all up, and I just have a little brief story. So here you go.
Just out of curiosity, I remember us talking about this at some point.
Yeah, I think we actually did. We talked about that and garlic. I think that onions and garlic chase away evil spirits or something. We talked about this one time before.
Yeah,
but
and then cutting the onion in half, putting it by the bed, and the next day it's all black and crazy because it absorbs all the...
You guys talked... Yeah. Where was that? I must have missed it. I don't remember this.
Yeah, we had a whole long conversation about it. Yeah, well, I still want to hear the article because it's a very awesome story, but... Yeah, we talked. You're late today, Corey. I don't know what to do.
Whoa! You know, but that's what it does. The onion turns black. It's really weird. But I wasn't on that week or something. I don't know. I don't think I was on with the. I know eating onions is really good and garlic, of course, but not cutting the onion. Oh boy, is this old hat? Should I move on?
No,
I still want to hear the article.
No, I want to hear the article.
Okay. It's just a quick one. It's not too long. What centuries of grandmothers have instinctively known is now being confirmed by everyone from modern scientists to naturopathic doctors. Onions may have the ability to ward off and relieve symptoms of the common flu. And in a world where, according to the CDC, many Americans will get the seasonal flu every year, the simple method of boiling onions into a drinkable broth may be a good practice to return to. How onions help with the flu. The idea that onions could ward off disease through their potential medicinal properties hails back thousands of years. Ancient Chinese medicine revered onions for their anti-inflammatory and congestion-relieving properties. The ancient Greeks rubbed onions on sore muscles, and the Native Americans used them to ward off the common cold and flu. I didn't know you could, you know, rub them on sore muscles. I didn't know that. In fact, the World Health Organization has even recognized the onion for its ability to help relieve symptoms of the flu, such as cough, congestion, respiratory infections, and bronchitis. Excuse me. Some traditions have even recommended placing sliced onions beside the bedside at night or even just around the house to help prevent yourself from getting the flu. The theory was that the raw onion would absorb germs in the air, preventing them from entering into the body. And even though it must be noted that one of the most common ways to get the flu is by contact with contaminated surfaces or people, remember to wash your hands, especially before eating or scratching your eyes. And then just this one little blurb says, in the early 1900s Los Angeles Times article, the following suggestion was offered to the public. In a sick room, you cannot have a better disinfectant than the onion. This was back in the 1900s. It was a wonderful capacity for absorbing germs. A dish of sliced onions placed in the sick room will draw away the disease. They must be removed as soon as they lose their odor and become discolored, and then replaced by fresh ones.
Very interesting. Now, does it have to be red onions, yellow onions, white onions?
My sister's boyfriend, Tony, says it's the red, but when you Google it, they talk about, they show the white. You have to show a white onion slice. And you have to slice it. You can't just keep it, you know, like whole onion with the skin on. You have to slice it up, and then you put it in a little dish. Yeah.
Very interesting. Now, this has nothing to do with that story, but normally I always go off on a tangent anyway.
Mm-hmm.
When you said draw things out, did you know that bacon will take out a splinter?
What?
Yeah, when I was a kid, I was probably 12 years old. You know how they have the wooden bleachers at a baseball game?
Yeah.
I was sitting on the wooden bleachers, and I slid across the bleacher and got a splinter in my rear end. And it was about, 6 or 7 inches long. And it was late in the evening, and at that time, you didn't have all these 24-hour medic places, so my parents took me home, and my dad said, hey, I read somewhere that if you put bacon on a splinter, during the night, it'll draw the splinter out, and because we couldn't get it out, they tried to, and which was by itself a funny picture anyway, them trying to dig a splinter out of my rear end, but that's a whole other story. But anyway, they put a slab of bacon on my rear end, and the next morning, the splinter was actually inside the bacon.
So it's the raw slice of bacon.
Not the fried one.
You officially made me not a fan of your parents.
No, I mean,
why would anyone waste a perfectly good bit of bacon on your rear end when they could have just cut it out and caused
it was worth
suffering
it.
And pain? Just cut it out and save the bacon.
But was the bacon raw, or do you cook it?
Yeah, no, it was raw. They took out like a pound of bacon and cut off like a few slices, and then my dad actually taped it on my butt, and then they were going to take me to the doctor the next morning because they couldn't get it out. And my dad says we keep picking at this, we're going to get your butt infected. So he tried the bacon, and I swear
I'm gonna Google it. I'm gonna Google it and check it. Bacon taking out splinters. Okay.
I have a totally unrelated story.
Okay.
We were talking about onions and bacon, and I have a rooster following me around everywhere I go. I don't know where it came from, but it won't leave me alone. It's kind of freaking me out. Everywhere I go, it's staring at me.
You have a rooster?
Yeah, I don't know whose rooster it is, but it won't stop following me around.
Well, my question is, what did you cock-a-cock-a-doo-doo?
But the problem is, we're talking about onions and bacon, and it sounds delicious, like putting together, you know. I don't know, maybe it'll be good with chicken, and this fool is following me around. He has lost his mind. He don't know who he's playing with. I will eat you.
No, you won't. Aww. Wait,
do you really have a rooster following your house?
Yes. Would you like me to send you a picture of this thing? It's freaking me. I took a picture of it. I can't get over it. I'm gonna text this picture to you. You do with
it's
it as you would fit.
All right, do that.
It's your charm. That's why he's following you around.
It's not my charm. It's not my charm. It's my proximity to my grill. That's what it is.
There you go. He's smelling it.
Okay. Well, Laurie, I bet you can't beat that story.
No. I'll hang up now. I'm done.
Do you have any more?
I have lots. Actually, I have, since we talked about the food trends of 2013, best fast food for 2012. And I bet you guys could probably guess some of these. You guys could probably guess some of these. Some of the best fast food for 2012. It says it was an up-and-down year for the fast food industry. While service standards declined, at least they eased up a bit on trying to cram healthy alternatives down our gullets. Here are some of the bright spots in an uneven year featuring lots of chicken and more oatmeal than you might expect. See? It says, McDonald's Mighty Wings. I've never had these.
No, they're new. I just saw those on some show this past week. That they're test marketing them. I think they're test marketing them in Florida right now, and they're supposed to be pretty good. Yeah, they just started this. They just started. I think Florida test market, and I think they're test marketing them somewhere else. I think it was up north somewhere, but they're getting good reviews.
Yeah, well, it says, thankfully, excuse me, the beauty here is more than just skin deep. Prying into one of the almost absurdly huge drumettes revealed juicy, tender meat and lots of it. None of that pressed and processed extruded chicken goo. These are, true to the McDonald's literature, quote, big and meaty, high-quality bone-in wings.
Yeah, in fact, I just read, oh, I don't know, I think it was USA Today, that they did a taste test against Hooters, and who else was the other one? Oh, is it Domino's? Is that the one pizza place that has the high wings? Anyway, it was some pizza place, and they did a taste test, and McDonald's beat those two.
Hmm. Well, the second one is, I'm not familiar with this, but this Jamba, I mean, I've heard of it, but Jamba Juice's oatmeal.
Yeah.
It's that oatmeal. It's
I
the national
like Jamba Juice, but weird people are weird that go there.
Really? Because is it a West Coast thing?
Yeah, Jamba Juice is one of those places where you get, it's like all natural wheatgrass and, you know, lemon pulp and just unusual things. They make drinks out of it. It's like they make these little, what do you call them? Not frosties. What do you call those things? The smoothies. They put weird stuff into it, like seaweed and all kinds of weird stuff.
Oh, see, my niece Bridget loves her smoothie. She gets this I just bought it for her, and I thought it was a banana and something else, banana and vanilla or something. I forget, a smoothie.
Let me just say, the people who go to Jamba Juice wear a lot of tie dye,
and you walk into Jamba Juice for a smoothie, and you walk out with the urge to hug a tree.
Yes.
It's got to be something they put in the juice that makes you want to be so peaceful.
Oh, my gosh, you are so funny. Anyway, Wendy's Spicy Guacamole Chicken Club. I've had it.
It's good. Yes.
Yeah. It says it's the best fast food chicken sandwich in 2012. It's essentially a deluxe up version of Wendy's very good spicy chicken sandwich, and it's excellent.
Yes, it is.
They said the bacon adds a ton, and the guacamole certainly doesn't detract. And the end result is a rare fast food sandwich that's worth $4.99. Wow. Only $5.
All right. What else? What other exciting fast food things? Is that it?
Well, I'm just looking. It's 4:30, and it's 4:30.
It's 4:30. Wait, way to go.
Oh, blind time. No, I'm teasing. I need a drink. It's morning. It's early, but no, I need a drink. Do I have enough time?
You got time, because if you're waiting to find out when our guest is going to be coming on, I don't see her light lighting up, so you can continue talking until she calls in.
Okay. Oh, here's my next article. This is a good one. Would you pay $345,000 for a hamburger?
No. Okay, what's your next question?
I can tell you right now that this is going to make me hate people. I'm telling you. This is going to make me hate somebody. Somebody is such an idiot. They paid $345,000 for a hamburger.
Well, this is actually more. Remember the story about the Christmas? Was it a Christmas dinner for $200,000? Is that what it was?
Yeah, that's true. Remember that Christmas dinner?
That's what I'm saying. This is just a burger. It might be a good story, but I got to find something to punch while you're telling this story.
That tree that you thought we
No,
you have to
hug the tree. You can't
yep. oh,
be mean
true.
To
yep.
the tree.
Yeah, can't be mean to the tree. I know, I love trees. You're right. Well, it says it's not wrapped in edible gold leaf, and it's not held together with a skewer made out of a diamond stick pin. It's an ordinary burger that doesn't include the bun, lettuce, the pickles, or the onions. It isn't even supersized. This may seem like price gouging on a monumental scale, but it's actually the cost price for this particular burger. And that's because even though it is a real hamburger made from real meat, it doesn't come from a cow.
Uh-oh.
Here we go. Dr. Mark Post, a vascular biologist in the Netherlands, is one of a handful of scientists around the world working on the problem of cultivating meat artificially in a laboratory. The idea, you'll be happy with this when you hear this, Hank Bob, the idea is to find a way to create the meat without the animal. If he succeeds, his first burger will cost a staggering $345,000. He also believes that the advantage of in vitro meat, as it is called, are such that it will go a long way towards alleviating world hunger and saving the environment.
Oh, boy.
No, I don't like any part of that. I'll have none of that. Thank you. I'll have none of that. No, I do not want an in vitro fertilized burger. No, thank you. I want my burger to have a face. I would rather have a name. Hey, come here, T-Bone, let me eat you. I want my burger to have existed and lived and grazed. I mean, that makes it delicious. I don't want it in a test tube. That's not how you make a burger.
I want my burger to have a face. That's a classic line there.
Oh, my gosh. I want it to graze.
Can you think of anything else that you want to eat? It has to have a face to make it delicious.
Okay,
so how far along has this guy actually made this burger so far? I mean, he has one.
No, it's an interesting story. Should I continue?
Yeah, you need to continue because right now there's nobody calling in.
Oh boy. Are we in trouble here?
We might be, but keep talking about the in vitro burger without the face.
Okay. It says the idea of growing meat in a vat without the animal middle creature has been around longer than many people realize. The most famous prediction of the coming of in vitro meat was from none other than Winston Churchill during his, quote, wilderness years of the early 1930s when he was out of political favor. Churchill passed the time by writing, and one essay penned for Popular Mechanics magazine in March of 1932 dealt with predictions of what life would be like 50 years ahead in far-off 1982. And this is what he wrote. We shall escape the absurdity of growing a whole chicken in order to eat the breast and wing by growing these parts separately under a suitable medium. We're thinking back then. So,
well, Aaron, you wouldn't have to kill that rooster.
Mm-hmm. No, it doesn't work for me. A face is required. I don't care. No, it's making me sad. Yeah, it has to. There's no way it's going to taste the same. They say, all right, and honestly, because the only reason I know it won't taste the same is because grass-fed beef, all it is, it's a cow that eats nothing but grass. Grass-fed beef tastes different than beef raised on a beef farm that is fed feed and other items. It literally tastes different. So I know that if a cow that does nothing but eat grass tastes different than a cow that's given man-made substances, I know that a cow that is raised and eating grass, it tastes different than something a man grew in a tube. There's no way. To me, it's like I'm going to be eating a meat-based burger. There's no way it can be delicious. It's going to be like a burger made out of potted meat. And I know that starts with a face, but I don't think potted meat counts as a face.
I was getting ready to say potted meat does have a face.
Yeah, but that doesn't count. I don't consider that face food. So, you know, I don't know. No way. That's freaking me out a lot.
I know.
You're bringing back childhood memories. I used to eat potted meat when I was a kid on crackers.
Man,
my mother used to put that in my lunch bag, and that's what I ate when I went to school.
To this day, I absolutely love potted meat on cracker with mustard or even a potted meat sandwich with mustard. Yeah.
There you go.
Wow. I'm getting hungry. I wish it was wine time. I'll have potted meat with it. It says growing a chicken leg bone and all wasn't even a remote possibility in the real 1982. But Churchill did have some basis for his prediction that this would come about within a half century. He probably based it on the work of Dr. Alexis Carrel. He was a French surgeon and biologist working in New York City. And there at the Rockefeller Center, Dr. Carrel conducted a unique experiment when in 1912 he cultivated tissues, listen to this story, it's pretty cool, from an embryo chicken heart. By constantly bathing it in a nutrient solution, Dr. Carrel was able to keep the heart tissue alive and growing until 1942 when it died after a lab assistant forgot to feed it. The chicken heart was Carrel's best-known project, and the heart was something of a minor celebrity with newspapers sending it birthday greetings every year. Carrel,
you remember that Bill? Wait a minute. There was a Bill Cosby record about chicken heart. Remember that?
I cut that part out of the article because it was kind of long, but you're right. He used to talk about it. He was afraid of it when he was born.
Yeah.
You're right. I don't believe you remember that.
But the question is, did that lab tech ever get a chance to work in a lab again? How do you forget to feed? I can understand forgetting to feed your pet or forgetting to feed things. How do you forget to feed a heart that's living in a bowl by itself?
I know.
This heart is like a big deal, right? I mean, I know you're new here and I know you're just starting, but I just want you to know that this heart is kind of a big deal. We need you to make sure you feed this thing nutrients every day, okay? That's your whole job. Feed this heart that is living by itself nutrients. Can you handle that? And then it dies. Holy cow. If you ever get a chance to work in a lab again, the rest of your...
It's like a goldfish. He forgot to feed it, and it died.
Yeah, but a goldfish you can easily replace. Cause, you know, but not a chicken heart that's living by itself. That poor thing. That poor heart.
I guess that guy, he really clucked up, didn't he?
I'll tell you, oh, my gosh. Well, I'll tell you, what's funny is, you know what it says? I'll tell you, can you imagine what Dr. Carrel must have felt? Because it does say here, Carrel himself thought that the longevity of the heart pointed to the secret of immortality. It said, certainly the public seemed to think so, since stories in the popular press talked about the chicken heart as being a large mass of flesh that grew so much that it was forever in danger of bursting from its container. In 1952, science fiction novel The Space Merchants, Frederick Pohl and C.M. Kornbluth described the future farm where Carrel's chicken heart is grown into a lump of flesh weighing hundreds of tons and is served by butchers who trim off the steaks from it with great fleshy knives like those used by whalers. He says here, the radio author Arch Obler took this a step further in his short radio play, quote, Chicken Heart, where Carrel's experiment breaks loose and devours the entire United States. Doesn't that sound like
the
Blob?
Yeah, like I said, the Blob. I saw that movie.
Yeah. But that's what they were doing with this guy's experiment. And then what happened was Carrel died in 1944, and then many scientists tried to duplicate it.
Oh, you know what? He was probably heartbroken. Okay, go ahead.
Oh, good one.
I bet. Now we know. We now know. The lab tech never went back into a lab but got a job at hospice. We now know how I forgot to feed him. I had to.
Oh, my gosh.
I went a long way for that one. Really.
Yeah,
bad.
You did. I would say you're talking about stretching that one out. Well, guys, our guest is not showing up that we're supposed to be doing this for, and she's not calling in. So I know you folks had other things to do. Are we okay, or do we want to continue going? I can play some music and hopefully our guest will call in. You guys tell me.
I can finish reading the article if I'm done, and then you want to play whatever you want. Want to play music after? I mean, if you bored.
Yeah,
with article.
Finish the article. Then I'm going to play some music and give it about 5 more minutes, and then we're going
to. I've got to go ahead and head out for a poop.
All right. Well, watch out for chicken hearts while you're out there.
I am going to watch out for chicken hearts. They usually end up in my fryer, but.
All right, Aaron. It was fun. We'll see you.
Always nice to talk to you, Aaron. Absolutely.
Nice
always
talk
nice
to you too, Laurie.
Okay.
All right. Later.
Okay. After Carrel died, it said cells of type cells of the type Carell used should only have reproduced a certain number of times and then died. They certainly shouldn't have kept on growing for decades. And no one is certain what happened, but one theory is that Carell's nutrient solution, which was derived from animal tissue, kept introducing fresh cells that replaced the ones that died. So he had something there that they couldn't figure out after. It wasn't until the development of cloning and stem cell research that anyone took the idea of growing a steak seriously. And then it says here, this is because meat is not simply a collection of cells. The chop on our plate was once part of a living organism. Cultivated in vitro meat has a huge challenge before it is to pass as a burger patty. And then it says here, I like this one part. Food is a very personal thing, and it plays a much larger role in people's lives. Meals are a social function, a center of family life, and a way of intimate sharing. It even acts as a form of identity. As anyone who has thrown a dinner party that mixed dedicated barbecue enthusiasts and vegetarians can attest, it's one of the things that has made NASA less enthusiastic about in vitro meat over the years. So the biggest disadvantage is, of course, the $345,000 burger. We're not likely to see in vitro burgers on our plates soon, but if this price can be brought down, then it is possible.
I don't think you'll ever see that burger on the dollar menu at McDonald's, though.
I just scrolled down. This is my last part. Only time will tell, but in the meantime, scientists working on in vitro meat may need to tread carefully. Remember Cassell's chicken heart? One mistake, and we won't be eating it. It will be eating us.
All right, and on that note, I think that we should probably take a break. I'm going to play a barbecue song because I'm now hungry for chicken and chicken hearts.
Oh, good.
And hopefully when I come back, I will have Emily coming in. Emily Ellen's supposed to be on with us. And if not, then I don't know what we're going to do, but everybody hang tight. I'm going to play a little barbecue song, play a little ad, and then we'll see if we have Emily Ellen. Everybody hang on. Here we go.
Now don't eat some barbecue.
Baxter's Original Premium Barbecue Supply, located at 115 10 Mile Road in Fitzgerald, is where you'll find all of your barbecue supplies in one place. They have competition-grade barbecue sauces, high-quality specialty rub. Baxter's is the home of Komodo Joe ceramic grills, which are better than the Big Green Egg. Shop online at www.baxtersoriginal.com or visit Baxter's Original Premium Barbecue Supply at 115 10 Mile Road or call 229-425-6583.
I guess what we'll do is as soon as I find her, we'll get her on the phone here and continue the show. Laurie, thank
yes.
you for all your interesting information on the food news. And I actually had a better joke I thought of. I really screwed up. When I said the guy died of being heartbroken, I should have said a heart attack. So that would have been funnier. But,
oh. Anyway. No, the heartbroken was nicer. Being that Valentine's Day is around the corner, it sounds nicer.
So thank you. I guess I'm going to have to go find Emily Ellen. I have no idea where she is. And everybody hang tight, and we will be back here shortly as soon as I find Emily. And Laurie, you take care, and I guess we'll see you next week.
Absolutely. Take care now. Bye-bye.
All right, bye.
Got to get ready. paper. She can only take so much. I gotta find something to do before they switch it off. Love cash through. Hey. Got to get rid of you. I've worked hard, you know. I've worked long. But it ain't the work you did, but the work you're doing now. Love cash through. Hey. I can't remember. I've been crying about these low cash
back. This is Green Ideas Radio, and I am Green Ideas, and we are back here with the show, and I've been searching the hallways trying to find our good friend, Emily Ellen, and I think she's hiding out here in the hallway somewhere. We're going to bring her on in a second. I just wanted to mention, too, before I move forward, don't forget, everyone, about our contest that's on February the 2nd. We'll be giving away three books. Saber Ricci is giving away three books, and all you have to do is send a story, and the story needs to be sexy kitchen stories. You need to send them to me, greenideas@earthlink.net, and Saber Ricci and our crew are going to read the stories and then pick the best three sexy kitchen stories and give away three of Saber Ricci's books.
This is the new book that she just recently came out with. So everybody, please participate in the contest. It's easy. All you got to do is do a sexy story, and you could win. I can't do the story because my sexy stories would probably not work on primetime radio. So make sure you participate. It's really easy. Just write a story. Don't want it to be very long. It needs to be 250 words or less. And we will put you in the contest, and hopefully you'll be one of the winners. The top three will win a free book from Saber Ricci. And I do see that Emily Ellen is in the house, so I am going to bring Emily on, and let me go see if I can yank her out of the hallway here and see if I can get her on the phone. Hey, Emily, are you there? Hey, Emily, we're waiting to talk to you. We've been looking for you. How you doing? Hello, Emily.
I'm here.
All right. It's working.
Hey!
Sorry. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I want to enter in the book competition or the story competition.
Well, you're welcome to. In fact, yeah, why don't you do that? We'd like to hear one of your sexy kitchen stories.
I could read you one right now.
Oh, well, okay. Far away.
That would be kind of scandalous, I bet.
Yeah, it would be kind of scandalous on a Saturday morning show. Probably people are just drinking their coffee. We don't want to upset them because they still got a whole weekend to go. But save the story, send it to me, and we might just read it on February 2nd if you've got a sexy story that everybody wants to hear.
Yeah, you may want to edit it. I will. I will say that it involves pounds of butter.
Oh, my God.
And slow deaths of lobster poached in butter. I'll leave you guys hanging. Dot.
You definitely have got to send that to us.
I will. You know what? It's funny. I used to write like these little short stories about food all the time. And I knew eventually they would become a book. I just didn't
right.
know. I just don't know how to compile them. But this might be the breakthrough. This might be it.
Well, I tell you what, if we don't use it and you don't win the contest, I want to see it anyway. So you can go ahead and send me the email version of it and then make it as juicy as you want to, and I can always edit it for radio.
Oh, hell yeah. Why not? And then the rest of the listeners will just have to kind of sit in suspense if it's not written and wait until I do write that book in the future. So, hang on.
Well, I did tell Saber Ricci when it came to the contest, I said, I don't know, this could get kind of risque, and I'm not sure if people are going to want to do this. And but we'll see. The stories will come in, and we'll see what we have. And everybody stay tuned because February 2nd could be a very hot morning on the radio.
I think it's a perfect segue into Valentine's Day as well. I mean,
oh,
speaking off the love month.
Well, that's exactly the purpose of it. She's going to be talking about Valentine's and lovers. And she does the program, what's it called now? I forgot. Recipe for Love is what she does when she comes on each month. And she talks about the star signs and recipes for love, so that fits perfect for February and for Valentine's Day. So, yeah, that's the exact reason why we're doing it, and hopefully we can give away three books. So what I want to ask you is, what have you been up to? Oh, by the way, before I do that,
yeah.
Lori, our food news girl, she wanted us to say hello. So hang on a second, if I can get this thing to work. Right now, my screen has gone completely black again, so I'm trying to bring Lori in with us, and it doesn't work. Lori, if you can hear me, I'm sorry, but I might not be able to get you in on this. Oh, here you are. I think you are. Hey, Laura, are you there?
I'm here. Hi.
Hey. Say hi to Emily.
Hi, Lori. How are you?
Emily.
I'm fine. How are you? You are just such a sweetie. I
Aww,
love when you're on. And
thank
I wanted
you.
To congratulate you on all the things that are going on in your life. It's spectacular, and I just wish you all the best. You deserve it.
Oh, thank you. I greatly appreciate it. Yeah, I'm constantly cooking up some fun food and fashion.
And definitely send into that contest because I'm with Trillian on that one. I want to see what you have to say. Ooh la la.
Yes. Well, at least my inner circle will get to read it, like Brilliant.
There you go. All right, so Emily, I know you've been busy, obviously, reading all the things you're up to, but give our listeners some little feedback on what you've been up to for the last, I guess it's been about a month and a half or so, or 2 months when you were on our show. So what you've been up to?
Well, the calendar continues to fill up. And speaking of calendar, I produced my first calendar, a product offering, if you will, and it's a food, fun, and fashion calendar. And I've been getting rave reviews and a lot of positive feedback from it. And I can see the potential of it really working in and evolving into my first book, Leave It to Cleaver. So still full steam ahead on that project. And then this week, I just found out that I will be in a movie coming up, an independent film. So you can all check that out. The film is from Bank Helfrich, and he is, Banks is a local producer who takes his independent films all over the world, and they're awesome. This one is called Fat, Dumb, and Happy.
Well, we actually talked about the film on one of our shows, and my buddy Aaron Hank Bob was hoping to try to get in the movie and be an extra, but then when he found out that he had to get a headshot and have professional photos taken, he's like, "Dude, I can't do that." I said, "Well, just go anyway. Take a Polaroid.
Yeah.
And show
yeah.
up."
Yeah. I was gonna follow up with him and see if he ever went.
No, he never went. He never showed up. He actually was on the show, and he thought about leaving early to go to the event and see if he could get him a spot on the movie, but he never made it. So anyway, so this movie's called Fat, Dumb, and Happy. Now, I understand in reading a little bit about it, you're playing yourself and not playing with yourself. You're playing yourself in the movie?
Yes, not to get confused with our February 2nd event coming up. Yeah, I'm playing myself, and the cool thing is I am the Retro Rad Chef, and I am on the Eating Channel.
Okay.
And the premise of the story is the main character becomes obsessed with Emily Ellen and watching the show and becomes obsessed with measuring, and there's a whole... I think there's a whole bunch of issues that kind of evolve from that, you know, with addiction and consumption. So we'll see how it plays out. But I think it's going to be a really good film. At least it's fun. And you can say I'm a movie star now.
Well, when is the film supposed to be actually taking place? And as far as coming out, is it something for 2013 or is it later?
Well, I mean, they're just in the casting stages, and then they're going to start filming in the spring and summer. So, you know, these projects do take a while. So we'll keep you posted on Brilliant Radio, and I'll let you know as things progress. And as I said, you can go on Facebook, and they have a page, Fat, Dumb, and Happy, and it might be a cool thing to follow. So.
Now, Laurie, I think if Laurie lived in Florida, I think she was planning on running down there to see if she could get her a part also.
Oh, yeah, sure.
No,
we
should
have the whole
cameras. No, I don't like cameras. It takes a lot for me to have my picture taken. I mean, all my friends know that. I'm always hiding and saying, no, I look a mess, no. Oh, well, regardless, you guys have to totally make it for the premiere party when it's all said and done.
Oh,
you
definitely.
Bet.
Now, you mentioned the calendar a minute ago, and people can find your calendar. It's still not too late. It's only January, and you need to get out there and buy her calendar. They can find it on your website, which is emilyellen.com. And you actually, you're signing each one of those, autographing each one of the calendars?
Yeah, I'm autographing each calendar, so check that out. Also on my website, you can get all the information to follow me on Facebook, Twitter, and Pinterest, and check out some of my upcoming events. I'm doing a lot of cooking classes. The trend of 2013 is to cook with beer. So I partnered up with Shipyard Brew Pub, and I'll be having some events throughout the year cooking and baking with beer.
You recently had one at, was it, that was in Winter Park?
Yeah, Shipyards Winter Park Brew Pub. I did a brews and fondues, and it was the kickoff class, and it was a riot. We take, well, food and alcohol with Emily Ellen. Oh, my gosh, it's always trouble. We were brewing and fondueing, and it was really neat because the brewmaster came out, and he did it for this class, and he's going to do it for every class from now on. He tapped a beer that he made special for our class.
Oh, really?
And, yeah, it was really nice. And then we went through and did a whole bunch of tastings and took tasting notes, and then I gave cooking demos, and then we ate and drank and danced around.
Now, how often are you going to be doing these cooking shows?
Well, I have one scheduled for the day before Mother's Day. I thought it would be a good opportunity for the ladies to come out and relax and enjoy a cooking class. It always seems like mothers are chipped on Mother's Day. You know,
right.
Sunday we take them out to brunch, or we make them a card and we do breakfast in bed, and then after that, it's all said and done, and then they have to clean up the dishes, you know? So
sure.
I thought a cool thing to do would be the Saturday before Mother's Day, we let them have a afternoon out, like a ladies' day out. So we're doing a whole segment on baking with beer, and we're going to do all these beers, Shipyards making these beers that are specifically for the women in your life, like Ravishing Redhead and Brilliant Blonde beers. And then we're going to pair those with our baked goods. I'm also going to teach them how to make beer caramel. And Le Creuset is going to partner up with us as well. And every mom gets to go home with a heart-shaped pot that is filled with that homemade beer caramel. Beat
well, you
the
know
rose
that.
Any day.
That same format would work for Father's Day, too, when you're talking about cooking with beer.
Well, funny that you say that, because we're going to do a Father's Day special. Brewing and barbecuing. So we're going to do whole grilling segment, which is right up your alley, Brilliant. And we're going to make some brew barbecue sauce, and I'm going to teach all the guys how to can and give them all – I'm going to make a book about grill tips and barbecue tips and how to can their favorite barbecue sauce. So that should be a really awesome class as well.
Yeah, really. So you're going to be doing these quite often, and you're doing them in the, are you be doing all these at the Winter Park location or at different locations?
Yes, these particular classes I'm going to do at the Winter Park Brew Pub. But I will be doing things all across the United States this year. I'm booking up my calendar. We're filling it in as we speak. And if you go on my events page off my website, emilyellen.com, you will see there are some events. I'm going to have some events in Arizona and Texas and a bunch of things I'm cooking up.
Great. Now, what about the TV? Got anything planned for TV?
I do. I'm cooking up some things. I can't give you guys details yet. I'm dying.
I want the scoop. I know. I ask you this every time. Now, you got to make sure you come when you finally can tell and you don't have to be secret squirrel anymore. That you come and tell everybody your brilliant ideas.
We'll have the big reveal on the radio show.
All right.
That would be awesome. Yeah, because it would, well, no, now maybe you have to push the show back a day because, you know, most of these big reveal cooking shows are like on Sundays. I don't know when they're going to air it. But, shoot.
Well, we could do this a special Emily Ellen show where we have the big show where you tell everybody what's going on. So we can actually make that on Sunday. We'll have a special Sunday show just for you.
That would be cool. Yeah. And maybe we can all have you guys on, like, my phone or something, and you can be part of, like, the announcement.
Sounds great. Now, also, speaking of TV, just so everybody knows, too, your buddy Nikki is going to be joining us on the radio, and I guess sometime in February. We're trying to work out the details. And Nikki was on the show with you on the Food Network, and she's going to be joining us to tell us a little bit about what's going on with her. So all you ladies that were on the Food Network all seem to be very busy.
Yeah, well, you know, we're really close friends still. And the funny thing is Marty just called me before I came on the show, and she's going to be visiting me. And, I mean, and then I get to have Linky and Michelle are going to be visiting. So it's going to be really fun. And I'm so glad The Grill Next Door is coming on Grillient Radio. I mean, it's just like a match made in heaven. Come on. So, hell, wow. I should say this week is our anniversary, all of us girls. I mean, we met this week.
Oh, really?
During the whole process, yeah.
Well, there you go. And you got great. So the show brought you together, and you guys all stayed friends since the show was over, and that's great. So, and you're all, like I said, everybody seems to be very busy, and thank you for sending everyone our way, and we're looking forward to having some of the other Food Network stars on our radio show in the coming months. And so you got the movie coming up, and being busy with that. You got your calendar, which everybody can find at EmilyEllen.com, and also go to Facebook and find out information there. You got your Secret Squirrel TV show that you can't tell us about. You got your cooking classes going on in Winter Park. When do you ever sleep?
I don't. I am like a crazy woman, let me tell you. So I'm always running around. And, of course, on top of it, my next-door neighbor and I decide we need to have a girlfriend brunch. And, you know, me, I can't help myself. I want the world to come. So right before I came on the show and right before Marty called, I was inviting, like, 40 people. So I'm going to be cooking next weekend, like, you know, like I need one more thing to cook up. But I love it. I love it.
Hey, yeah, as they say, you make sure when the pot is hot, you keep it stirring. And you're definitely doing that in your life right now.
That's right. That's right. So,
thank you for coming on our show and telling us a little bit about what's going on. And everyone who's listening in, make sure you check out Emily's website, and you can find out more details about all the busy things she's up to. And check out her cooking classes if you're in Florida. Sign up. And they're very inexpensive, too. That was a great price for an evening of cooking and learning. And sounds like Mother's Day
and
Father's
Day.
And drinking beer. And drinking beer, yeah. I'll call it. And keep us posted about the movie. And, of course, you're always welcome to come back on Grillient Ideas Radio anytime, whenever you'd like.
Well, before I update you on the movie, I'll be sending in my February 2nd submission. So, you just wait, guys. You just wait.
Well, definitely. We'll be looking forward to that, and we'll be reading that definitely on February 2nd. Thank you, Emily. We appreciate you taking time and with us today. And we'll, I guess next time you want to come on, just give me a holler.
Absolutely. I'll talk to you guys later. Love you.
All right.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Okay,
all right, there you go. Everybody, check out Emily's website, like I said before, EmilyEllen.com, and we appreciate her coming on the show. And that's going to be the end of the show. Laurie, you can go back and do whatever you're doing, and I'm going to close out the show with a couple of songs. Everyone have a nice weekend, and we will see you next time on Grillient Ideas Radio. Everybody take care. And I think I'm going to play, bye-bye, Laurie. Well, I think I want to play a little bit of Bo Porter and his song Mexican Lettuce. And everybody take care, and we'll see you next time.
Mexican lettuce makes me feel so fine. I like it with a little sangria wine. Keep your tequila and your whiskey too. Oh, Mexican lettuce, I love you. I twisted up a fatty just the other day. In no time at all, I was miles away. Drifting along over some little place. I think it was New Braunfels with a smile on my face. Mexican lettuce makes me feel so fine. I like it with a little sangria wine. Get your tequila and your whiskey too. Oh, Mexican lettuce, I love you. Mexican lettuce ain't real hard to find. I usually get it from a good friend of mine. But if you're making a trip to the Mexican border, would you mind picking up a little thing that I ordered now? Mexican lettuce makes me feel so fine. I like it with a little sangria wine. Keep your tequila and your whiskey too. Oh, Mexican lettuce, I love you. Go now. A little piece in some cellophane. Had no way to smoke it, man, that was lame. I wanted this little piece of bud in my hand, so I dented and poked a hole in a can. Mexican lettuce makes me feel so fine. I like it with a little sangria wine. Get your tequila and your whiskey too. Oh, Mexican lettuce, I love you. Go now. Lettuce makes me feel so fine. I like it with a little sangria wine. Get your tequila and your whiskey too. Oh, Mexican lettuce, I love you. Go now. Lettuce makes me feel so fine. I like it with a little sangria wine. Keep your tequila and your whiskey too. Oh, Mexican lettuce, I love you. Oh, Mexican lettuce, I love you. Wake up in the morning, get coffee going. Go out and see if my maters are growing. Water them good before the sun gets high. Eat a little something, kiss my wife goodbye. Oh yeah, gonna have a real good day. Ride down the road with an easy mind. I left plenty early, I got lots of time. I might get lucky, hit every green light. If I do, I'm just a living right. Oh yeah, gonna have a real good day. A real good day, just a state of mind. Roll with the flow, get left behind. Well, I'm telling you, friend, there ain't nothing to it. Just to make up your mind and go on and do it. Oh, 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 have a real good day. Do-do-do. Is set. I'm gonna hurry home for loving and pet. I might get lucky if I play my cards right. It could turn out to be a real good night. Oh yeah, uh-huh, I said a real good night. A real good night, just a state of mind. Roll with the flow, or get left behind. I'm telling you, friend, there ain't nothing to it. Just to make up your mind and go on and do it. Oh, 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 have a real good night. A real good day, oh, just a state of mind. The roll and the flow, we're getting left behind. I'm telling you, hoss, there ain't nothing to it. Just roll up your sleeves and go do it. Oh, 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 have a real good day. Whoa, oh, 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 have a real good day. Whoa, oh, 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 y'all have a real good day. Do do do. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do